And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a violent wind coming, and it filled the whole house. And there appeared to them parted tongues as of fire, which settled upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in foreign tongues. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, Pentecost is a most great feast. It is the day of great wind. It is the day of fire. It is the day of tongues. Those were three of the great miracles, among others, that happened on Pentecost Sunday. And this wind wasn't a natural phenomenon. It was a very strong, powerful wind that somehow helped people to come to take notice and to come to the upper room where the apostles had been gathered for 9 days of prayer. And now they were coming out preaching the gospel. The church is now born. Not that the church wasn't there already. As we know, the child in the womb is absolutely a human being, but at birth, the child comes forth. So the church comes forth on Pentecost Sunday. And then the people see tongues of fire above our Blessed Mother, the apostles, and the others who received this special outpouring of the Holy Ghost. That was miraculous. We know fire is very dangerous to hair. Hair catches on fire very easily, but not this fire. This was miraculous. And then people are amazed because everyone is understanding St. Peter and the other apostles preaching in their Aramaic, and automatically, miraculously, it's translated in their own native language. So the church came forth with great miracles, and it was needed in the early church. Our Lord himself performed miracles. There's absolutely no excuse for not accepting Christ as Almighty God. When they saw him heal the lame, give sight to the blind, give hearing to the deaf, raise dead people to life, how can anyone make any excuse whatsoever for not believing that he is the Messiah? And our Lord, not only on Pentecost, but he continued to work miracles in the early church. Remember what we heard in the gospel on Ascension Thursday, what our Lord said just before he ascends? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. And these signs shall attend. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall get well. So as we can see, the early church was filled with miracles. It was necessary. And the thing to remember about miracles, they always have to be done, or they happen only for a needed reason. God doesn't just make miracles happen willy-nilly. God takes an exception to his own physical laws, and he can do that because he made everything out of nothing. So, in the early church, an abundance of miracles beginning Pentecost Sunday. And the question may be asked, why don't we see these miracles anymore? Is not the need there? And the answer is no. And I'll explain some more. Now, this is not to say there haven't been miracles. Read the lives of the saints. Read church history. You will read about many individual miracles that happened over the course of the centuries. And to just remind you of two continuously existing miracles, the Shroud of Turin, nearly 20 centuries old, continually proclaiming the miracle of the resurrection. And then the Tilma of Our Lady of Guadalupe. We're coming upon soon the 500th anniversary of that miracle, continuously proclaiming a special presence of Our Lady. And we keep finding more and more miraculous aspects to that Tilma. So it's not like the miracles are not there at all. They are there. They're not there in the same abundance or same manner that they were in the early church. But here's the point, and I refer you to one of the wonderful arguments for the Catholic faith by St. Augustine. And this is called the dilemma. Dilemma. Don't think of it like we use it in the normal sense, like I'm in a dilemma, I don't know what to do. That's a different meaning. But in philosophy or argumentation, when you use a dilemma, whether you go by one option or the other option, you end up at the same place. That's the meaning of a dilemma. And this is what St. Augustine says. His major premise: the Catholic Church spread with the help of miracles or without the help of miracles. And that's a historical fact. Nobody can deny that. You don't even need faith to acknowledge that the Catholic Church has widely spread through the centuries. And so St. Augustine, he establishes the dilemma. It's either happened with miracles or without miracles. And then he continues. He says, if the church spread throughout the centuries with the help of miracles, that would prove it's divinely founded, that it is divine, and that it will last until the end of time. So that's one avenue of the proof. He says, on the other hand, if, let's say, for the sake of argument, there were no miracles in the history of the church, he says, the very fact that this church has spread so widely throughout the whole world in the face of persecution and all kinds of opposition, even martyrdom, he says, that's a miracle in itself. And that proves that it's divinely founded, divinely sustained, that it's divine in its constitution, and it will last until the end of time. Isn't that a beautiful argument there to use? Either way, it's a miracle. And so, my dear friends, on this Pentecost Sunday, I remind you that the Catholic Church is a miracle of itself, and you are part of it. Think about it. It's a miracle that there are still faithful Catholics to be found in an age of such great apostasy, in an age of such great falling from morals, in the face of so many moral perversions. There are still people who have the Catholic faith and who haven't fallen into the great apostasy that's happened since Vatican II. There are vocations to the priesthood and the religious life that goes completely contrary to the current of the world. There are marriages that are persevering with the help of God's grace and the gifts of the Holy Ghost, sanctifying themselves, sanctifying their children. That's a miracle. There are people striving for sanctity, people living holy, pure lives, living modestly, wearing modest attire. That goes completely against what the world teaches. So On this day of Pentecost, let us rejoice in the miracle of the Catholic Church. And yes, God has given those other miracles. It's not, again, that was for the sake of argument that St. Augustine said, even if there were no miracles. Thank God for the ones that have happened in the course of history. Such a rebuke to unbelief and sinful living. That's what miracles do. No wonder people, some or many people, do not like miracles because they do not like that rebuke to their lives. It reminds them that there's a higher standard by which they need to live. They need to live for eternity and not just for this life. Our Lord sent his followers out to share the gospel. And yes, primarily it was the apostles and their successors and all of the priests and religious missionaries throughout the history of the church. But I remind you that all of you share in the missionary activity of the church. Our Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the salt of the earth. It wasn't just for the apostles he said that. You are the salt of the earth. If you lose your savor, if you lose your faith, the strength of your faith and morals, then he says, what good is that salt? It's to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. It's lost its purpose. So our Lord is calling us to make a difference in the sinful world in which, well, it's always been a sinful world. There's been always so many unbelievers. We are called upon to make a difference according to our various roles, our vocations. Our Lord also said, we are the candle upon the candlestick and the city seated upon the mountain. That means you have to stand up for the truth. That means you have to stand up for morals. You have to stand up for faith and not shrink away from that. There's too many Catholics that have done that throughout history who just thought, I'm just going to keep my faith to myself. No, that's not what Jesus taught. You have to spread the faith by good example, by your exhortations, by standing up when it's really hard. And yes, just like the followers of our Lord were persecuted for doing that, we should not be surprised if it happens to us. When we stand up for what's morally right, what God has revealed, you know what we may be accused of? Hate speech. But didn't they call our Lord the devil himself? Didn't they oppose the apostles, telling them they were terrible people, haters? Why? Because out of love for souls, they were bringing the gospel to them. So yes, we are called to Catholic action, to stand up for what's right. Pray for the gift of fortitude and all of the gifts of the Holy Ghost to help you to be strong in your faith, to give that example in your daily life. And not to think, oh, I just want to blend in with the others. No, we are salt. We are a candle. We are a city on a mountain. So let us again rejoice in, as I said, the miracle that is the church. It's God's creation, and let us pray for the grace to always be fervent and spiritually striving members of this church, which Jesus Christ has given for the world's salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.